Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, Donald
and David.
This week we're talking about nonlinear creation, and it promises to be a most interesting and mind-stretching conversation. Mm-hmm. So David, I'm curious, what are your ideas on nonlinear creation?
Donald, you and I were just having a conversation before we started recording, which made us eager to jump into this. For the listeners out there who are going, what are they talking about, nonlinear creation theory? This is something that Donald and I have had in our brains separately. The funny thing is I don't think either of us knew that the other one had any concept of this nonlinear creation theory. And Donald just said to me before the episode started, he's like, you know, have you heard of this before, or is this something in my own head? And I told him, you know, when I'm looking at the episode list and saw that this week we're doing nonlinear creation theory, I'm like, did I tell him that? He must think I'm insane. He must be going, what is he talking about? So I think that's one of those things that must be coming out of the divine matrix of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
Nonlinear creation theory, you know, to put aside my blabbing, but nonlinear creation theory. It's the idea of creation, exploring what the source of creation of our existence is. It does take into account all the ideas and beliefs of creation that are out there. Hmm. It discusses and touches upon creationism. It also touches upon evolution and everything in between that.
Yeah, I'm curious because in my head I have an idea of what it is, and I'm curious on your idea specifically on evolution of nonlinear creation. How would that work?
I think evolution's part and pieces. I think there's a reason that the missing link is missing. I think there's a reason that we haven't found it, because I don't really think it's there to be found. Mm. We're trying to think in linear terms, and in linear terms and in logic, everything goes from one point to another point to another point to another point, A to B to C to D. Mm-hmm. So we're saying, well, wait a minute, where's D in this equation? We're seeing A, B, C, and then E, but we don't see a D, D being the missing link. Mm-hmm. My belief about our creation in our genesis, how we came to be, you can't look for a missing link because there's no linear explanation for it. So evolution basically gives you glimpses inside, but it doesn't really give you the whole picture. I guess I would look at it like, imagine looking at a hair under a microscope, right?
Okay.
And you can identify the hair and a lot of things about it, but you can't really tell how the animal's internal organs work, for example, from the hair. What I'm saying by that?
Yeah, yeah.
How does that compare to your idea?
Yeah, my idea is a little bit different, where it goes back on the whole topic of manifesting, kind of like creating your reality. When I first started coming up with this concept, I wrote a few articles back, I think, in 2002, maybe 2001. One of the examples in the article that I wrote had to do with finding romance, for example, where you're single and you're putting out there to the universe that you have this idea of a vision of what your perfect romantic relationship with another person would be like. From there, the universe works to create that person and allow your paths to cross. Basically, that person did not really exist until you had the thought of that person. Now, the interesting thing that goes from there is maybe you're the creation of the other person. And this is how it happens non-linearly, where let's say you're 27 years old when you come up with this vision of your perfect romance. Mm-hmm. And then you run into them when you're 30. They're not 2 years old. They're not 2-3 years old. They're actually about age appropriate for you as well. So they had to come into creation long before you ever had the idea of them.
Okay.
And this also goes with the dinosaurs, of some guy walking around in, you know, 1800s and finds this really odd looking rock and has the imagination of, wow, this almost looks like a bone of a really big animal. Maybe it was a big lizard or something like that. And all of a sudden, from that thought and that contemplation, the whole existence of the dinosaurs just were created in the past, and everything happened so that they were able to be created but not around right now, so that the reality maintained itself from the perception of the people that are there. That's how I see it.
from what you're saying here, and I want to take those two examples, like the lover, the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It implies that you created another person.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you're saying is happening?
Yeah, pretty much. But the thing is, you have to look at it from both sides, because if nonlinear creation is feasible, and that's why, you know, I've always called it a theory instead of like a law, is because if it's possible along those lines that I'm thinking about, then the person that you run into, the romantic relationship that you have, could have been the one that was created, or you both could have simultaneously created each other without knowing it.
How can you simultaneously create each other? How can a creator create a creation?
Exactly.
And how can a creator create a creation that creates the creator? It's like that Escher drawing where the hand is drawing the hand. The drawing of the hand is drawing a hand drawing a hand.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's kind of an infinite thing where the snake is eating its own tail.
Okay.
This is where my brain has occasionally gone to for vacations, is at this level, where you start thinking about it, these ideas, these possible philosophies, these other things start popping in, like what you just said. You know, how can a creation create its creator that created it?
Mm-hmm.
This has to go with nonlinear time. This has to go with perception of reality, which we've talked about in previous episodes, where, you know, everything is happening instantly.
Right.
Basically, under this philosophy, you can create your reality, but you're also in a reality with other people who have created the reality. It then becomes a question of what came first, the chicken or the egg. What we're talking about here, from what you just suggested, is the chicken came first and then created the egg, but also what is true is the egg came first and created the chicken.
Now, I subscribe to that. I agree with you about simultaneous time and things like that. If I were to try to put your theory into a digestible idea, I mean, to me, you say it, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. I mean, I don't have to digest it, because I think my beliefs already go along those lines. But I think for people who might say, you know what, that doesn't make any sense. You're not making any sense. We created the dinosaur bone when we found the bone. Here's kind of my take on what you're talking about.
Okay.
And on a quantum level, everything exists, period. On a quantum level, however many possibilities that could occur in this universe are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we have focus on them or not, what make them our reality or don't. They just become possibilities or fantasies or anything. So, as we've gotten to this point technologically, and as we've been making plastic water bottles and driving cars around, obviously we've been having a need for dead dinosaurs, you know, falling into tar pits and whatever else creates oil. I don't know. I'm not the scientist here. Our reality focus has brought all this technology into play. As we've gotten closer and closer to that point, maybe the history of the evolution of the dinosaurs came into focus in our timeline.
Mm-hmm.
If we did not have a need for that particular reality, the dinosaur past would not necessarily have come into focus.
Oh, yeah.
And I think what happens is with the missing link is that if we're creating our past in that way, if, you know, I'm saying the past is already created, it's out there, but the choices we make bring it into our reality, bring the past into our reality, make the past very real. If that's the case, then, you know, there are things that are happening in the beyond the five senses, beyond linear explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have things like what wiped out all the dinosaurs, where did the missing link come from, all those kind of questions, you know.
Oh, even aliens or UFOs.
Aliens or UFOs, exactly, you know. And aliens and UFOs are operating on a different spectrum than we are. In fact, what was I watching? I was watching, True Blood. I'm a fan of True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the long and the short of it is I don't want to give things away to people who haven't watched it yet. Anyway, he was talking about there are mythological creatures that exist in myth,
mm-hmm,
that are named all these different names, but one of the names they're given are aliens.
Huh.
So when we're talking about going from different planets, if you're coming from a different planet, you're coming from a different dimension,
uh-huh,
or a different reality or a different timeline. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
These are kind of the things that we're going. When you start to go too far back in the past, I mean, to me, if you go back in the past 5 minutes, you're going into an alternate reality. You're going into an alternate probability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you go from there.
So basically, trying to make it more easily understood, I think this is probably one of those areas where it's not easy to understand just by the nature of it, the concept of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, the way we're brought up, the way we're taught to think, if you take every way that we're taught to think and perceive reality, perceive the world, and every way that we, all the ideas that we make about, oh, you know, this wall is solid, I can't run through it, if I try, I will hurt myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think with nonlinear creation theory, you'd have to really get outside of that box of all of that.
Yeah.
I think it's very difficult, like you said, for a lot of people to even conceive what being outside that box would look like. I totally understand, and that's why when I was writing those articles all those years ago, those were the easiest ideas that I could come up with. And I started off with the whole romantic thing. I could totally see that, and that made sense to me. I'm like, well, okay, but let's make it even easier. What would be an even easier analogy? And I was like, well, the only thing that I can come up with that's even easier than that is dinosaurs or something like that, where a whole species, a whole different history of the Earth was created by a thought in the mind of, you know, one guy who had a really vivid imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I think about this idea, this philosophy, I'm always reminded of the movie The Neverending Story. Because in that movie, this whole world of fantasia, of dreams that people have, is created from their dreams, their thoughts, their emotions. This whole world, this whole universe, you know, would not exist if people no longer dreamed.
To talk about the dream, this is, to me, I think what makes it easy to digest this stuff for me is, okay. is that when you're in the dream is so real. It's ridiculously real.
That's a good one.
You know? Like Inception explored the idea that hours go by in a dream. They say that, you know, you can dream and it seems like hours and hours and hours have passed when you've been asleep for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
People could try to explain how there's such a rift between one part of time in the dream world and another part of the time in waking life. But to me, it's like when your perception has gone from one place to another place and then time changes based on that perception, then isn't really perception controlling time more than time controlling perception?
Ooh, talk about stretching the mind a little bit, David. Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what's controlling perception, time or us? And, you know, taking it back to the whole topic, you know, what creates our environment? Do we come into this world and say, oh, this is how things are? Or do we come into this world and create things as we are but have no memory of it?
Yeah, exactly. The way I look at it is both. Like when you said the chicken birthed the egg and then the egg hatched the chicken simultaneously. To me, it's almost like we're constantly being born and dying at the same time. In one of our episodes, we talked about the moment. Right when you think you are in the moment passes.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a constant on-off. It's almost like a constant...
Oh, with every firing of the neuron of our brain, it's a switch of on and off, kind of like flipping a light switch really, really fast.
Absolutely.
When the light is on, you're able to see reality, and that image is in your retinas, which goes to your brain, and by the time it starts to fade, the light is already popping on again, or turning on again. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Pretty much, like the cell of a moving picture. Or even in subatomic theory, they talk about how some atomic particles exist in one moment and the next moment they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're almost like on-off switches. I mean, our whole computer industry is based on ones and zeros.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
This particular bit is on or it's off. It exists or it doesn't.
And look what we've done with that, just that idea.
Yeah, exactly. We've taken the most binary, I mean, there's grand thoughts that basically the entire structure of reality all boils down to is and is not. That we are constantly in a state of is or is not. That basically, here we are, we're in an is state.
Uh-huh.
We go into the is not state, and then we go back into the is state, which is the creation that sprung from the is not state. It's the something coming from the nothing.
Now, going more into a kind of a religious area with this whole idea, it's almost like this flipping on this light switch of when it's on, that's when you're able to perceive reality, and when it's off, you're not. It's almost like God having a moment of thought, which creates everything and everything that we know in all our reality, and then having it possibly be gone the next day. And with every moment, that thought, that imagination, that energy in the mind of God can change to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that really starts stretching those brain cells just a little bit. One of the difficulties I've had with this a lot of time is if you try to think of it logically, of how could nonlinear creation actually exist, you're going to put yourself in a huge logical loop where the only thing that you can come up with is like what you said earlier. It either is or it isn't.
And it's both.
And yet it's both. Exactly. Yeah. If it is that, what do we do with that information? What's the implications of that for our experience, the way that we perceive life, the way we perceive others, the way we perceive, well, everything?
I think it gives us a huge amount of empowerment that we are the creator and we are the creation.
Hmm.
What's interesting is that we are also co-creators. I like to think of it this way. If really we are all co-creators, which a lot of people don't like, mm-hmm. because I think with great power comes great responsibility, you know? So it's like, I don't want that kind of power. I want to be the victim. I want everybody else to be at fault for this. That way I don't have to take any responsibility. You know, I don't want to know that I have that much power, because then I am responsible for the universe I'm creating. But it's your world that you're creating. You're co-creating with everyone else. It's like we're all little tiny fragments. It's like imagine like the universe is this giant vase, and you drop the vase and then there's all these bits and pieces of glass.
Mm-hmm.
I like the analogy of the ocean better, where, you know, we're just a composite of a bunch of drops that we just kind of can flow into each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're all really one part of the same thing. To me, the implications are that we are very powerful beings, that we are very powerful entities. We are all aspects of God and can create,
That
we do create. And so to me, it's the implication is that anything that happens in your world, you know that you are the creator of. And so you just look for what am I doing with this creation?
Now, I have a thought that I actually did not think about until you were talking about that. With the nonlinear creation theory, with creating our experience, with creating our reality, what if we take that to the next level and say, for instance, that we were not created until we had a thought of ourselves?
So we are the creation of our thought? Clarify that for me.
Oh, sure. In other words, okay, right now, at this very moment, I have an idea of Donald.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea of what he looks like physically, what he sounds like, his personality. I have an idea of what his friends are like, the kind of food he likes, you know, all these things. But what if, just for an instant, I didn't exist until this moment right now, where I exist here, but in another reality I didn't, and so I didn't exist until I created or thought myself into creation. In other words, at the end of my life, for instance, when I'm dying, at that moment where I move into the afterlife, I think that transition is extremely powerful. So what if you weren't created and you didn't have a life and you just weren't, you didn't exist until the end of existence?
If you didn't exist until the end of existence?
Let me put it another way. This is something that kind of goes along with nonlinear creation theory, but with the whole Big Bang theory, the whole creation of the universe, as it were.
Yeah, I love this. Go ahead.
So let's say that the universe did not know how to create itself until the end of its creation, when it totally implodes in and of itself. Kind of like they actually had this on an episode of Futurama a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about that throughout this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, where basically, you know, the Big Bang is a constant. It doesn't happen just one time. The Big Bang explodes, the universe expands, billions and trillions and quadrillions of years go by, and then it starts contracting, it compresses into this one little place, and then it explodes again and creates the universe again. So one of the things I was thinking of is, what if it doesn't know how to create itself until it's at the end of that, the apex, the maximized version of that compression? Mm-hmm. It doesn't know how to create itself until it reaches that complete compression back, and it's just about to switch over and become the Big Bang instead of the big compression.
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, and there, I could see that. I could see that, and I think it's kind of a, what you're doing is, I think you're taking a cross section of what goes on, in my opinion. I think it's a lot of the same way of saying that to recognize existence, does there have to be non-existence? You know, in other words, it's like, how do you know if something's hot if you don't experience the cold? If everything is always the same temperature, then hot is not relative to anything. It's not even anything.
Yeah, there's no contrast.
There's no contrast. So what I hear you saying is that the contrast, you need the contrast of non-existence or the apex of existence to see the other side.
Yeah, to see no thing or nothing.
Right.
Become everything and then come back to no thing.
If you know, all that is inclusive of all that is, not is has to be inclusive of all that is, which a lot, and this is where I think people get hung up is because to really grasp this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I think in those points of exaltation, you really get it, mm-hmm. but you have to accept the dichotomy and you have to accept the paradox.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's imperative.
I know that you and I, we've both, on our own before we met, have spent years and years with our brains trying to wrap ourselves around this idea of time and the whole idea of alternate realities. Well, if this didn't happen, then it could be this. And, you know, the whole idea of time not happening before it happened and happening after it happened, with the whole paradox idea of, like, what came first, the grandfather or you or your grandfather? And if you go back in time and kill your grandfather, does that mean you don't exist? You know, that whole paradox idea that you're going with right there, it's just like you have to literally come out of the box. You have to find a way to get to that higher level. And a lot of people use drugs and of various forms to get to that state to where they can understand and they can start to perceive at that level.
Mm-hmm.
That literally is like putting dynamite into your intuition and your spirit and just blowing the doors wide open instead of it growing up naturally and opening in its own time. And yeah, I think I've lost my train of thought. So, but
Maybe it's all the mind opening that you did to youth. It's kind of taking you to that point.
Yeah. I made the doors too open, and my mind was like, I'm just slipping out.
The door's ajar. You can't shut it now. It's just wedged into place.
The door is not ajar. The door is not ajar. The door is
a door.
Yeah.
I saw that coming, buddy. You know, here's what I'll say. What I think happens here is that as human beings are so myopic, ridiculously mm-hmm. myopic, because we seem to think that human experience is the sum all to be all. And this is the reason that we say, you know, people cross their arms and say, well, yeah, well, if it doesn't apply to our livelihood, then what does it matter? I'm like, really? Really? You're going to think that way? Blind people cannot see color. So do colors have impact on their world? They do.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
do. They just do. They can't see them, but they do, you know, in the grander scheme of things. As a result, I mean, because stoplights are colors. If colors didn't matter, then a blind person could cross the street and never get hit by a car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so colors do matter to blind people. They just can't perceive them. So for people who say, you know, just if we can't perceive it, then really does it matter? You know, if we can't measure it, does it matter? Yes, it does. I mean, so the human existence is not this little tiny, or this little all-encompassing thing that we have to measure everything by just because we're humans that human perception is the only measuring stick. Mm-hmm. What happens here is that when you're talking about what is infinite, there's no beginning, there's no end.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are gauged on a beginning and an end. We're born and we die, so we think that everything goes in that fashion. The universe has to be born and die.
Oh, yeah.
Well, perhaps, but is that in and of itself an illusion?
Oh, completely possible. You make a very, very, very good point there, and it's actually really good. I find it quite fascinating. The whole idea that the whole of human consciousness, the whole of human knowledge, we have an idea of how things can be.
Are you there?
The way things should be. Hello? Oh. Hello, David?
You know, I lost you for a second there, Donald.
Oh, okay. Am I back now?
I heard you say the whole of human consciousness, and then I lost you.
Oh, wow.
I'm still recording.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, good.
Editing! That's gonna be like so edited out.
Oh, I know, right?
Or maybe we'll just leave it in. I don't know.
Adult's dead air.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, actually, what would cause that reality? Because I don't think we've ever lost contact or connection while we were actually recording. I think we've lost a connection maybe once before or after.
But not while.
So who created that? If the idea of nonlinear creation happened, did we create that from the future of this podcast going live and other people having it and going into their consciousness? Or did that little break happen somewhere in the past or have some other kind of, you know, genesis? Is it possible that that didn't happen until the future perception of people, or our perception of what, like 30 seconds ago?
Well, how about this?
Uh-huh.
It happened, right?
Okay.
When we look back on it, you and I are the only two that it happened to.
At the moment, yeah.
How would anyone else know whether that's a lie or for real? How do we even know if it was a lie or for real? You know, the only way we say it was real is because we agreed upon it. But if we agree upon a lie, is that real?
Exactly. But another part of it is the perception between your perception and my perception, because you heard me talking and then all of a sudden you didn't and you thought that we had been disconnected. Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of talking. As far as I knew at that time, we were still connected and everything until I heard you say, hello, hello.
Oh, okay. I know what you're saying. So that perception was mine and mine alone. And then you decided to agree with that perception, or maybe you didn't. I don't know.
Yeah. You shared it with me, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then I became part of the creation that you had at that time of your experience. Mm-hmm. You know, when this goes live and for every person that listens to it, then it'll become part of their experience. It's like, oh, it didn't sound any different to us. It was like, what's going on with David and Donald? And that is a perception that from this point on, I'm just thinking live while I'm recording and talking to you at the same time, that definitely leave that part in, even though normally that we would say, oh, that was just a mistake, let's edit that out, which also goes to a matter of perception, which could create the reality of if we took that out, then it would only be you and I that ever knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could forget about it. And therefore, if we forgot about it, did it ever exist to begin with?
Exactly. And I think there's a lot of merit to what you're saying is that once there's a perception, when we start talking about it and when we start acting upon it, then we are making it more and more reality, you know. And I think things can phase in and out of reality. You know, I do. I think that things can be real one minute, not real the next, and then real again, depending on what level we incorporate it into our reality. And by incorporating it means that we're taking that and our decisions and our actions and our thoughts are entirely based on that piece of information. I'm going to call it information, whether it's an event or not. Like we talked about with history lessons, you know, the history of our country is based on a lot of the things that we've been told by legend, the actions of people and what we've chosen to accept into our reality. The things we didn't accept, you know, our country would be different if we accepted different things. So, those what we take into our reality is what creates our reality. And I think that that whole process is very chicken and egg. And I think the genesis of the universe is all about that as well. Speaking of Genesis, if you look at the whole Bible idea of God said, let there be light, and there was light, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll say God is everything that could possibly be, everything that, let's say, if it has a potential of existing, that's God.
Okay.
If it's anything or if it's not anything, you name it, everything goes, that's God, right?
Okay.
It's not a guy with a beard. We're just going to say everything. Cover all bases, including nothing. That's God, right?
Gotcha.
The light idea is what you talked about. You know, it's like, so what if everything is everything? So what? You're just sitting in this big pool of everythingness, and you're just like, oh, okay, whatever. So God saying, let there be light, and there was light, is like a self-examination. It's like everything going, all right, well, let's see what everything is. Mm-hmm. So when you create light, all of a sudden you're creating dark, and over there is the no thing. It's nothing.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So all of a sudden the plurality has been created between existing and not existing.
But did God have that thought before there was light, or there was like even a concept of light? Does reality come from the imagination of God, or does God already know everything that there is? It's a difference between knowing and not possibility.
I know what you're saying.
So
let me see if I can clarify what you're saying. I'm going to pick up a book on how to drive a car, and I'm going to read it cover to back, front to back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I put that book down, and I say, I can drive a car. And you say, why? I know how to drive a car. Okay. And you say, tell me about driving a car. And I explain to you every single piece and action and shifting and braking and all that other stuff that it would take me to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, okay, very good. Let me put you in a car. Let's see what you could do. And you get behind the wheel, and you're like, I don't know what to do. But he says, I thought you knew how to drive a car. You said, well, yeah, I have all the knowledge about driving a car, but you don't have the experience of driving the car. The reason we're here, I think the reason we kind of are self-aware, is because we're kind of God playing God out, which is basically saying, well, you know, I am everything. So what? Now mm-hmm. let me experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me know it. And the only way to really experience it, the only way to really say that light is light, is to have darkness, is to have no light.
Yeah.
The only way to say something exists is by having something not exist. When it comes from the same pool, light and dark, if you have them in the same pool and they're not separated, they're just part of the same thing and you can't differentiate. So, and it's like, so I don't know what's what. But once you separate them out, once you have light and dark, a thing and a no thing, then you can actually examine it a little closer and study it a little bit more. And I think that our individuality and our experiences as human beings and being self-aware and being this kind of egocentric thing is kind of like a exercise in all that is basically saying, I can get a better look at myself if I separate myself from myself, if I separate myself into little tiny parts. So it seems that I am separate from this other thing, even though it's all one big meshing pool. To me, it's like, you know, it's like if I took all the organs in my, what do I like? I like the spleen. If I took all the cells in my spleen and each cell was aware of itself but did not think that it had anything to do with the spleen and acted accordingly, you'd have the human race acting the way we do. And it would be a very poor functioning spleen a lot of the time.
Yeah.
A good functioning one, but not an efficiently functioning one. Because it wouldn't be acting like a spleen. It would be acting like all these cells, and the spleen probably wouldn't operate as efficiently as the spleen is supposed to, because it wouldn't recognize that they're all part of this one functioning organism. It's like not seeing the human race as an organism in and of itself.
Oh, wow. That's not quite where I was going, but I like where you went with that.
Well, then help me out.
Kind of the idea that I was thinking of is the idea of nonlinear creation being a paradox where the creation doesn't happen until there's a thought of it. And the idea of God having the potential to create and be everything, but yet not having the knowledge of knowing what everything of all of creation. Kind of like if you are born on an island and you grow up and you're all by yourself. Okay. Oh, actually that works perfectly. I'm talking about Tarzan, of course. I didn't even realize I was talking about Tarzan.
You're saying God is Tarzan
is
God?
No. I'm trying to
be God.
You not.
Okay. That's so much awesome.
That is so out there. Oh, but okay, so basically you grow up on this island. you have no concept of skyscrapers or automobiles or anything like that. And then all of a sudden you see another person, they befriend you or whatever, they capture you or whatever. They take you into what we would consider the modern world. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you being Tarzan, being God, when you were on the island for the longest time, let's say you had the potential of creating anything and everything. You could create anything and everything, but you had never even thought of or conceived the idea of like automobiles or tie rise buildings. You hadn't conceived of computers or telephones or anything like that. The whole idea of what I'm saying is there a difference between being able, having the ability to be everything, and having the knowledge of everything and reality as everything that there could be?
I would say, you know, I'm going to use that car analogy. It's like, if you have the ability to be everything, so what if you don't use the ability?
No, it's not even an ability of, let's put it this way. You know, as a healer and being in the healing arts for the past, you know, 15 years or so, I have ability to do a lot of things, mm-hmm. but until I'm introduced to different healing modalities, I may not have the idea to even try it, to even know that it's possible.
Okay, you know what that goes back to? That goes back to when we talked about belief, when we talked about the Law of Attraction episode,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about belief creating the reality of it.
Exactly, and there is actually a little bit of a connection here between the nonlinear creation and the Law of Attraction, because what nonlinear creation theory implies just by its name, combined with Law of Attraction in its simplest form saying, ask and you will receive, and you create your own reality, you manifest your own experience, then all you really have to do is be able to imagine what you want, and then it creates. And this is where I go, going back to the whole romantic relationship thing, is not until you're able to imagine a relationship with a certain person that's a certain way do they actually exist according to the nonlinear creation theory. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm talking about with the whole God idea, it wouldn't be until God had the imagination of, oh, a human race, until we were existed. But we know that we exist right now, so like the end of the universe, and if the end of the universe is God compressing into it, himself about to create everything again, then he would know everything at the very end, but at the very beginning it all goes away.
Mm-hmm. I okay.
I mean, does that make more sense, or am I still kind of lost?
No, yeah. You know what? It makes sense to me. The thing about it is if I were to explain what you were saying, in my head I see it clear as day, but it's very, very difficult to articulate.
Oh, I know. I know.
What I see it as is, there, it's a loop. It just keeps going back and forth. The Big Bang to me is like a pulsing light,
uh-huh.
but it's stretched over how many bazillions of years? It's stretched over that because, you know, here we are, puny humans stuck in our concept of a 100-year lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about bazillions of years. It really, if the Big Bang in our universe was really a quantum particle of another universe, it mm-hmm. would be blinking on and off. The Big Bang, which takes bazillions of years, would be just a Planck unit in it of a different universe.
Oh, yeah.
I think everything's symbolic and everything is representative of everything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that things are only physical just because we experience them, but really, it's all symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that our universe and the Big Bang and this expanding and contracting is the very, 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 very slow motion symbol
mm-hmm.
of the quantum particle. This universe is a quantum particle in another universe.
Oh, you know what? There was an episode of Mork and Mindy that kind of went along these lines, where all of a sudden Robin Williams playing Mork started to shrink, and he shrunk to a subatomic size. When he was at that level, there was a world just like what we perceive now, with obvious differences. It wasn't exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then stuff happened, and the whole thing that, you know, brought him back to this level was he had two, you know, contrasting emotions. He had anger and love, happening at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. That had him rise and, you know, grow big again and basically get back to the normal size of where he was. But so this idea that I'm really digging it, and I wish I knew, you know, what episode that was or even what season it was in. Yeah, the whole idea of maybe this universe and everything in it is just a particle blinking on and off, and maybe the whole span of time of this universe is the life of that particle, and we're being observed by some scientist in another dimension, as it were. Mm-hmm. And it all trickles down. Have you ever opened a mirror and, you know, looked at yourself, and if you put it up against another mirror, you can kind of make yourself become 10, 15, 20 different versions of yourself reflecting back at you?
Yes, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Maybe the whole idea of reality is going from a moment of observation from somebody somewhere of a particle that is our universe that is not created until they have the idea of, you know, being able to put that information, the imagination, and that their intention, their knowledge or whatever, into that particle, which, being a universe in and of itself, tries to vibrate with the observer. Mm-hmm. The observer has an imagination and attention, then that particle will vibrate and reflect that imagination like a mirror.
Right. Over, right. Exactly.
Through many, many lenses. And so as we're sitting here, let's say we are in a little atomic particle, all of a sudden we have an imagination of, oh, I'd like to have a certain romantic relationship with a person who has these different attributes and characteristics and whatever. Maybe it's not so much that it's nonlinear as that it already happened millions and millions of times, but for us, from our perception, it looks like it's nonlinear.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's like, you know, atomic particles and molecules and these kind of things, like a rock. Mm-hmm. A rock is of particles that are just not moving very fast, but they're still particles, you know, so they appear linear. But imagine if you could see time sped up really fast. Mm-hmm. A rock would be a very fluid thing.
Oh, yeah.
A rock would look like it was moving, and it would look like it was constantly changing. You know, of course, we'd be just going blinking at that speed. But I think that's kind of what it is. And that's why I say it's the human perspective that everything seems so narrowed by. It seems like the cross section. If we are a composite of a bunch of atoms, mm-hmm, and then subatomic particles, imagine when we die, that atom, even before we die, you know, we breathe out a carbon dioxide, and then there's this carbon molecule that becomes, you know, absorbed by the tree. And there's that essence, that piece of us that is constantly moving and rejoining and coming apart from so many other things. What if instead of from a conglomerate of a human perspective, we had the perspective of that carbon atom?
Oh.
Or even the carbon molecule? What if that was our perspective? What would the world look like? It sure wouldn't look like the way it looks now. Maybe we would have an idea of time, but it sure wouldn't be linear in the way that we see it.
Yeah, I think the go-to analogy with that is, what do we look like to an ant? Mm-hmm. We look like huge giants. We're actually probably so huge that to an ant, they don't even really see us because we are so huge to them. If you go down to an ant's level, you know, they see a little piece of sand, and the sand is like, oh, wow, I definitely see that, mm-hmm, because it's more size appropriate, and they're able to perceive it more.
Yeah, and then if you took the perception of your entire life from a fruit fly,
yeah,
that lives maybe a couple of days or a week or whatever they live, and imagine all the events in the life of that stretched, and you actually made it comparable to our own lifespan,
mm-hmm,
how different would perception be? I mean, what if, like, I don't know, if you took a day, a second is a very long time in the life of a fruit fly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think about what occurs in a second. And think about if a second was equivalent to, I don't know, say a year.
Uh-huh.
So imagine in a second all the things that happen, and we perceive all those things as having taken a year to have gone by.
Oh, so basically if you're a fly and your perception a second equals a year, then from your perception, it's taking years and years for you to see this person coming at you with a fly swatter.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, that could easily be the case. but then again, I'm filtering that through a human perspective too. You know, and if we're really talking about nonlinear time, then, you know, it's just a series of moments. You know, it's one giant long moment that just constantly changes in the perspective of the flies. It's the humans, I think, that make it linear. It's the humans that I think say beginning to end, A to B, future, past, you know. It's like I always say, I've said this before on other episodes, but I like to play the game of strip off my skin. What does everything look like? Uh-huh. I can't tell when's the past, when's the future, what's imagination, what's real. Why I kind of use that carbon molecule example.
Oh, yeah. And it's a good example, too, in my opinion, anyway.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, nonlinear creation being ability to create our perception which leads to our reality by not following a chronological, logical area of events. To me, this is one of those things that I don't remember ever hearing about it in the past. I just thought about it one night and I started thinking about the implications of it and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And even now, even years later, I still feel like I'm right back in the same place that within the first few minutes where I started thinking about it. I'm kind of thinking maybe it's one of those things that you really can't go too far past that, because once you do, all of a sudden you're observing yourself thinking about it, and, you know, like a subatomic particle, once it's observed, it all of a sudden starts to change. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my final thoughts on nonlinear creation. What's your thoughts on it?
It's very similar to yours. I think nonlinear creation, we have closer grasp to the true nature of creation when we think of it as there's no beginning or end, but mm-hmm. that we're constantly creating, that every moment is a brand new universe that's been created. Each moment is a universe in itself, is a big bang, you know, start to finish. And then the universe completely implodes when that moment passes, like you said, at the apex of it, then realizing that's when it actually becomes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're just a composite of constant tiny universes being created and ending over and over and over again.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is really beautiful. I can just see that happening, you know, in my mind's eye. Just, it's very pretty.
Oh, thank you.
We'd like to take a moment to thank all of our listeners, our new listeners, and those that have been with us from episode one. We absolutely love recording these. This is kind of a passion for both David and I. So we appreciate you taking the time to hear what we have going on in both of our heads. For Take the Red Pill and DonDalton.com, my name is Donald, helping you to live your life fantastic.
And this is David Deere. I will see you in the next episode in the next universe.